I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of God's wrath. I remember my affliction, my wandering, the bitterness and the gall, I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope.
Welcome to the Broken Book Podcast. We're your hosts, Amanda
and Sam. And we're ready again this week to appreciate, dissect, criticize, defend, and generally nerd out about the Bible. Howdy, listeners. This is our first minisode, where we get to talk about slightly more random topics and maybe a little more personally. And best of all, we don't ramble on for 50 minutes. These are going to be 5 to 15 minutes. And, well, let's go for it.
So this minisode is going to explain our theme song. Because we have sort of a weird and interesting theme song, and we figured you guys would be interested in hearing more about it.
I think our theme song is creepy and delightful.
Yeah, I really like it.
So what our theme song is just this wonderful great old hymn. It's called Great is Thy Faithfulness, which is based on the third chapter of the Book of Lamentations. So we have the actual music from the actual hymn, and then we juxtapose that against the original text from the Bible. And they clash marvelously.
Yeah, the catch is that the song is only based on one verse. So when you listen to the whole passage, there's a lot more to it than just that one verse.
The claim that God's faithfulness is great, that comes new every morning, that's basically the one single solitary happy verse in the entirety of the Book of Lamentations. And when read in context, the entire concept's a lot creepier. So, as you could probably tell from our sound quality, we don't exactly have a recording studio. So what we did is we all landed down into Amanda's basement, which was lovely and full of lots and lots of stuff and lots and lots of junk, and we all plopped our butts on the floor and had very little room, and we brought our friend Paul down with his guitar, and they spent lots of geeky minutes trying to figure out a proper, nice acoustic guitar arrangement, and then I did some voiceover work, and then I did more voiceover work. In the end, I did about 14 different takes so I could make it through the entire song without the song speeding up ahead of me. But it was a fun time, good times.
The one thing that is awesome about that basement is that there's carpet on the walls, which actually makes for sort of a good recording environment.
As long as nobody goes to the bathroom, and we remember to unplug the laundry machine.
Yeah. The song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, is a hymn that a lot of Christians are really familiar with. It's one of the most popular, well-known hymns, and it's got a very traditional Protestant Christian theology. There's an all-just, all-loving God who has total control of the universe, and we can accept God's rule and feel at peace with our lives, which can be great. But at times, it can also feel a little divorced from reality.
Lamentations 3, on the other hand, is these angry mutterings of a guy who's just been made homeless by God. God had promised to protect Jerusalem from invasion, and Jerusalem has just been destroyed. The temple has just been destroyed. The entire Judean worldview has just been destroyed. And this guy has nothing left. He has just seen all of his friends, all of his family, everything he holds dear, either killed, carted off into exile, or dying. And yet, he has this cultural requirement to still worship God. But God has failed him. God has not given him peace. And he tries to tell himself that God is faithful, that God's blessings are new every morning. And he tries to accept it. He tries to embrace this mentality, but then he gets distracted and remembers everything bad that's happened to him, and he gets angry at God again, and his attempt at reconciliation just falls apart.
The reason that we chose this as our theme song is because of the cognitive dissonance that you get when you're listening to this passage and listening to this song. The song is so certain about God's character and God's trustworthiness, and the passage is not. And it really, it's sort of a metaphor for our podcast, because our podcast does a lot of dealing with this sort of cognitive dissonance. we really think that there is a lot of cognitive dissonance for people from our time and place reading the Bible. And it's important to acknowledge that. We don't want to whitewash the Bible. We don't want to just pick the sort of nice, happy, good-seeming passages and ignore the rest of it.
And it's great, because we think that us moderns have cognitive dissonance with the Bible and with biblical theology, because we're from the 21st century. But then we go back in our time machines to Lamentations 3, and this guy, this ancient dude, is already feeling that cognitive dissonance. He's already seeing that an all-just, all-loving God wouldn't let this universe happen. And he rants about it, and he yells about it, and it feels very modern to me. At the same time, I don't want to be angry at God all the time. I don't want God to be evil. I want God to be loving like he is in him. I want to see new mercies every morning. And I have to kind of learn to play with holding that tension between the ideal God I'd want to worship and the God who seems to actually exist. And I love living in that tension. Finding that cognitive dissonance and embracing that cognitive dissonance inside the Bible is what has left me stay Christian.
As we were talking out this minisode, we realized that the two of us both appreciate the hymn and the passage, but in sort of different ways based on our own experience and our own bottom-up theology. For me, what I really like about putting these two together is that for me it represents the tension between letting go and trusting either God, the universe, humanity, that it will work out okay, that the sun will rise in the morning, and that you're loved, that you're forgiven. And on the other hand, holding responsibility for your life, and even to some extent for the fate of the world, all on your own. We need a balance between the two. If we trust too much, we won't really do anything to make the world better, but if we feel like it's completely up to us, we can become incapacitated by the pressure that we feel.
Do you feel forgiven by God, the universe, humanity?
Yeah, I do. I do.
What's that like?
I think it sort of comes from my lived experience of being in relationship with family members and hurting them and being forgiven by them, and being in relationship with my husband and hurting him and being forgiven by him. And that's just a pattern in my life, I think. And yeah, I mean, I've had relationships that didn't work out, that didn't have as much forgiveness in them, but overall, I think my lived experience has tended toward that. And so when I think more generally about my relationship with what is greater than me, I sort of come to it with that expectation that I would be loved, that I would be forgiven.
And I think that's a really foundational difference between us. I don't feel forgiven. Not really at all. I've made some mistakes, and then I make more mistakes, and then I make more mistakes, and more mistakes, and more mistakes, and they all pile on and just become this gunk I can't get past. There are things I did back when I was 11 that are still hurting me, where I still see the pain from my sin. I feel like the universe isn't giving me second chances, and whenever I try to stand up, take action, do something beautiful, that it fails, that it doesn't work out, and I can't really feel forgiven by humanity either. I live alone. I don't see people very often. I have to remind myself that I'm important, that I matter, that I'm loved, because I don't actually get that much love. I don't get reassurance that I matter, that I'm important. The universe isn't good enough. Humanity isn't good enough, and that's why I turn to God, because God's trying the hardest to forgive me. They're fighting harder for me than anyone else is. Now, God can't always get that far because, well, God can't be all-powerful if God's trying to forgive me, because I'm not forgiven. But God's trying. The great is thy faithfulness, God, I love so much, because that's the God who gives me blessings and mercy, who gives me the strength to get through the day, who sees my sins and forgives them. The problem with the great is thy faithfulness, God, is that it can't really be an entity, because I don't feel new mercies every day. Morning by morning, I wake up and I feel tired. Now, look at the Lamentations, God. The Lamentations, God doesn't forgive, you know. We lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven and say, we have sinned. and you have not forgiven. God has surrounded himself with this cloud so he can't see or care about the humans he's punishing. And that feels more like the God of my existence sometimes, but it's not a God which I feel much of any intention to worship. So I'm stuck with an evil God who might be a little more realistic, and a great, wonderful God who might not exist. And for a split second, it feels like there isn't a God at all. But then you feel the cognitive dissonance between Great is Thy Faithfulness and Lamentations, and this new God emerges. If you take the best of both gods, the Lamentation God is a God you can talk to, negotiate with, yell at, a God who isn't perfect, a God who isn't almighty, a God who's trying. And then you find the peaceful, pleasant, hopeful God of Great is Thy Faithfulness. And that God can become the soul, the morality, the humanity of a Lamentations God. And that's the God who's fighting for me. It's that combo God.
After we recorded this whole song, we decided to look up the story of the songwriter from Great is Thy Faithfulness. And we were really surprised and interested when we heard about his life, so I'm going to read some of what we found out about him. The author of Great is Thy Faithfulness is Thomas Chisholm. He was born in a log cabin in Franklin, Kentucky. He became a Christian when he was 27 and entered the ministry when he was 36, but poor health forced him to retire after just 1 year. During the rest of his life, Chisholm spent many years living in New Jersey and working as a life insurance agent. Still, even with a desk job, he wrote nearly 1,200 poems throughout his life, including several published hymns. Chisholm explained toward the end of his life, "My income has not been large at any time due to impaired health in the earlier years, which has followed me on until now. Although I must not fail to record here the unfailing faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God, and that he has given me many wonderful displays of his providing care, for which I am filled with astonishing gratefulness."
Well, damn. This narrative, this guy, is so much cooler than I thought. You know, I guess I pictured, you know, a great old hymn would be written by some stuffy authoritarian organist who was obsessed with traditional theology or something, and...
Also, you thought he'd be British.
Yeah,
he was totally American.
I really thought he'd be British. I misjudged him. I brought in very poor conceptions. I turned him into a straw man. Actually, he reminds me of me in a weird way. I'm someone with mental health issues, which has really stopped me from doing the kind of ministry I wanted to do. And he found something. He found love and mercy in his life, and his life doesn't sound very fun. Being a life insurance agent in New Jersey. Mornings by mornings, new mercy. This is a guy who found a way to find beauty in life and to create something really beautiful that people still sing today. And good to you, Thomas Chisholm. I hope I grow up to be like you.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I necessarily agree with his theology, but I really respect the way that he, like you said, managed to make something beautiful with his life.
I'm sure I disagree with him on virtually everything. But I'd like to think we worship the same God. Somehow. In some way. God will figure out how. God's good at that.
That's a very Great is Thy Faithfulness conception of God right there.
It's a really beautiful conception. I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of God's wrath. I remember my affliction, my wandering. The bitterness and the gall, I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Why should the living complain when punished for their sins? Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven and say, we have sinned and rebelled, and you have not forgiven. You have covered yourself with anger and pursued us. You have slain without pity. You have covered yourself with clouds that no prayer can get through. You have made a scum and refuse among the nations. All our enemies have opened their mouths wide against us. We have suffered terror and pitfalls, ruin and destruction. Streams of tears flow from my eyes because my people are destroyed. My eyes will flow unceasingly without relief until the Lord looks down from heaven and sees.